This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run at 7.06 a.m. on Friday, the 27th of May. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Koo Soo Chuang. First, as we always do, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Yep, in America, it was a sea of green. The Dow was up by 1.6%. The S&P was up by 2%. In fact, the Nasdaq was up by 2.7%. Then, of course, U.S. markets followed Asian markets, which saw a bit of a mixed bag. The benchmark Malaysia KLCI was up by 0.5 percentage point. Singapore was up by nearly 1. Shanghai Comp was up by about 0.5 percentage point. But the Nikkei and Hang Seng went down by 0.33 percentage point.
All right. So we can see that U.S. stocks really rose on the back of earnings from retailers like Costco and Dollar Tree, all pointing to pretty significant earnings results. So I think that has assuaged U.S. markets about the future of consumer sentiment and consumption, essentially. But if we want to turn our attention to what's happening over in Asia, we have on the line with us Carlos Casanova, senior economist at UBP in Hong Kong. Carlos, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. I want to start with the Hang Seng Index, which has had a really torrid time this year. I think I see that it's something like 14% down on a year-to-date basis. Do you think that the intended relisting of Chinese tech companies on the bourse could breathe new life into Hong Kong's beleaguered financial markets? We are seeing Didi making those steps moving ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me again. So we are seeing a lot of pressure on the Hang Seng still. But all investors are looking for signs that things might, make a turning point for the better in the months ahead, especially given that valuations are very low by historic standards. I would say that the relisting or the increase in IPO flows in the coming months and years will certainly play a role in supporting the Hang Seng sector, the Hang Seng Index. But do bear in mind that much like what we're seeing in the U.S., the expectations of earnings are still very rosy. But of course, contrary to what we are seeing in the U.S. economy, we are experiencing a contraction in China. So it is possible that we might see some additional downside pressures on the Hang Seng Index as analysts factor in the impact of this contraction in Q2 earnings before we see that recovery on the back of low valuations, technicals, and of course, a lot of these companies returning to Hong Kong.
Yeah, Carlos, do you see a change in sentiment following the Fed minutes earlier this week when Jay Powell transmitted to the markets that it could potentially be another 2 or 3 50 bip point hikes, and then after that, maybe just wait and see indefinitely? Do you see sentiment turning from where you sit in Hong Kong?
I think anything that anchors Fed expectations is positive. So we had priced in one additional 50 basis point rate hike and then 25 thereafter. But we've heard everything in the market from 75 to, consecutive 50 basis point rate hikes. So I think anything that sort of hints that the Fed is still rational is something that can help the market. I do think that inflation will remain quite high. And of course, the priority right now is inflation expectations over even growth and employment. So they will do more than that. Possibly the 50 basis point rate hike that they discussed following from 25 thereafter. But the market was getting quite wild with their expectations of tapering. So anything that can provide visibility is going to be a driver of improved sentiment.
Yeah, Carlos, just something as a bit of an aside, because Bloomberg is running a story suggesting that there could be a bit of a discord among the two top Chinese leaders. Xi Jinping still wants a zero COVID policy. Li Zekiang, his deputy, is urging urgent measures to deal with the economy that is in essentially potential free fall. Sitting as you do in Hong Kong, and that's quite close to China. What is sentiment there in terms of China's COVID policy and whether there could be an about turn on that front?
That's good. That's great. It's interesting that most of the mainstream media is now commenting on a potential split amongst Chinese Politburo members. I would say that in case this is true, it's most likely not a Xi versus Li Keqiang split, but we are seeing certain parts of the Politburo, especially the Shanghai factions and people that are monitoring the situation in Shanghai or impacted by the lockdown measures in Shanghai more closely. being less in favor of doing aggressive easing while COVID zero remains in its current shape and form, but would be willing to, you know, go there if they ease restrictions. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have the Beijing camp. They're like zero COVID hardliners, and they want to do more easing. And the reality is that they will have to compromise somewhere in the middle. So we do expect that they will be a little bit more flexible in the second half of the year once the situation in Shanghai improves. And of course, there's a big contingency here. We are seeing rising cases in Beijing and Tianjin, and we hope that that doesn't turn into a full-blown outbreak in the north of the country. But assuming it doesn't, assuming things do improve in June, I think that does open the gate for a little bit more flexibility in terms of how you interpret this zero COVID or Qingling strategy that they have. With that easing in social distancing restrictions, people being able to move a little bit more, I think it does make sense to push forward with that easing that they've been talking for months now.
Mm-hmm. And still sticking to China and just looking at what the current situation is, we did see the economy suffer a major slump in April due to these lockdowns and supply disruptions. Are you expecting economic numbers for May to be fairly similar? Will they be better or worse?
Correct. They'll be worse. April was very contractionary. I think heading into May, retail sales will be more contractionary because now we are talking about lockdowns not only in Shanghai and Shenzhen and Jilin, but also impacting Beijing, another major consumption center, and Tianjin. So retail sales definitely very negative. Manufacturing might have been sustained. It was negative for the first time since 2020 in April. We don't expect a rebound, but of course there's been reports road freight resuming and factories reopening within some capacity constraints under this loop system where workers have to live and work in the factory. So manufacturing might be sustained, but won't be fantastic. And of course, the only thing that will be driving growth is public sector investment. So that points to another month of negative activity and recovery in June, which overall for us suggests that growth in the second quarter will be negative, minus 1.0%, making it extra difficult to hit that 5.5% growth target by the end of the year. So naturally, as a result of contraction in the second quarter, we have revised our annual GDP growth forecast for 2022 to 3.7%. It was 5.0 before activity indicators for April were released last week. So we are looking at a bigger GDP miss for this year.
Okay, Carlos, let's switch to Asia. And we saw how South Korea and New Zealand both raised rates again yesterday. In case of New Zealand, that's the fifth straight increase in a row. What about your view on ASEAN central banks? Have ASEAN central banks in general been as responsive to the Fed rate trajectory?
No, they haven't. But that was a plan all along. I think developed markets were always leading in this tapering journey. The RBNZ and also the Bank of Korea have been hiking since the second quarter of last year. In the case of Korea, RBNZ, of course, started later in October, but they more than made up for the delay with 175 basis points in rate hikes, since then. And emerging markets were supposed to remain on hold for as long as possible this year to support the economic recovery. Now, that position is now clearly unsustainable given rising inflations after Ukraine and lockdown measures in China. So in May, we saw a series of central banks in the region implementing surprise rate hikes, including in Malaysia. But of course, with India and the Philippines being the other two main examples. And that, in my opinion, suggests that there has been a shift in policy in the region. We are now in a full-on tightening cycle. And so all of the emerging central banks and all of the other central banks in the region will have to follow suit.
Carlos, thanks very much for speaking to us. As always, that was Carlos Casanova, senior economist at UBP in Hong Kong, weighing in on some of the trends that he sees impacting Asian markets, in particular, putting a target of 3.7% GDP growth for China. That's a far cry from the 5.5% that the Xi Jinping government is targeting.
Yeah, you picked up on that as well. 3.7, that's a big gap from where, I think he mentioned 5 or 5.5. I think that's official government estimates, right?
5.5%. Yes, we're still in June. Maybe they'll be able to pull a rabbit out of their hat. We'll just have to wait and see. 7:16 in the morning, we're heading into some messages. And when we come back, we're going to be discussing how do Malaysians on social media view the current conflict in Ukraine. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.